All right, today we continue our Red Thread series. And I want to tell you a little bit about who we're talking about today and see if you can guess who we're going to be chatting about today as we look in the Old Testament and what points to Jesus in the red thread through Scripture that is pointing to Jesus and helping us learn about Jesus. So we're talking about a person today who was beloved by his father and became a servant by providing for all in need. He resisted temptation and foretold the future accurately and proved to be a great, great counselor. However, his own people did not recognize him. He was rejected and even condemned to die because he was envied and hated without any cause. He was stripped of his clothing and then later falsely accused. But after all that, he was promoted to honor and given glory and even given a new name. Who am I talking about? Anyone guess? Joseph? Correct. Very good. We are talking about Joseph this morning. And maybe technically I should have done Joseph last week and Moses this week, because we talked about Moses last week and then Joseph. But it's all right. We're doing Joseph today and learning about the story of Joseph. And Joseph is very clearly, if you look at it as a whole, Joseph is very clearly a story of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, just in miniature, in shortened version. I mean, it's not exactly like Jesus, but it's another foreshadowing of Jesus' life. Okay, very close to Jesus' life. It parallels very closely, just happened to happen 1,500 years before Jesus. So did you know that there is twice as much about Joseph as there is about Abraham in the Bible? I mean, Joseph was not better than Abraham or cooler than Abraham or anything, but as we read the story of Joseph, we are reading the foretelling, the foreshadowing of the story of Jesus Christ. And so like the story of Jesus, it has twists and turns and drama and lies and deceit and great suffering and yet great triumph and glorious exaltation. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of Joseph, right? But to really capture and to see the redemption story of Jesus woven throughout the story of Joseph, we need to take a quick look at his entire life. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to spend the next few moments looking at the entire life of Joseph. So if you remember, Abraham had a son, Isaac, right? Okay, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob's 11th son and the firstborn son of his wife, Rachel, was Joseph. And because he was the first son of Rachel, he was loved and favored by his father just a little bit more than his other brothers. He was the baby of the family, after all. And of course, if any of you guys have siblings, younger siblings, you know that the baby gets away with murder, right? How many of you guys have younger siblings? And the younger siblings get away with anything and everything, right? Okay. Or if you are the younger sibling, you know you get away with murder, right? Is it freaking out back there? I don't know what is wrong with it. That's not me. Okay, right? And then the younger sibling just gets away with anything they want, right? So Jacob was no different. He got away with murder. Okay? Nothing more than. And of course, Joseph is given special treatment by Jacob. And nothing more we understand from Joseph is heard of him until about the age of 17. And we see Joseph tending his father's flocks with his older brothers. And because he was the favorite, his brothers hated him, right? This envy was magnified when Jacob gave Joseph a full-length, long-sleeved, and perhaps very valuable and multicolored coat, right? Okay, robe. Jacob was the favorite of his father because when he was born to Rachel. And with the animosity of his brothers increased still even more when Joseph revealed to them his dreams of dominion over them. Okay, Joseph would have these dreams and he would say, hey, I have these dreams and it's these dreams about you guys bowing down and serving me. And of course, as you can imagine, if your younger sibling came up to you and said, I have a dream someday that you are going to bow to me, that's not going to go over well. So his brothers, Joseph's brothers, didn't like him because he had these dreams. And then they really didn't like him when Joseph was sent to check on his brothers and his flocks at Shechem, assigned by Jacob. And so here's Jacob, and he says, "Hey, Joseph, I got a special assignment for you. Why don't you go and check on your brothers? Okay, make sure they're doing everything all right." So can you imagine Joseph walking up to his brothers as they're tending the flock, all of his older brothers, right? And Joseph, I mean, what does he walk up and say? "Hey, guys, like, Dad just wanted me to come check on you, make sure you guys are doing everything you're supposed to do." Like, have you ever had a sibling do that? Okay, right? You just want to punch him in the nose, right? Okay, just, thanks a lot, right? Okay, it doesn't go over well. No matter how he did it, it's not going to go over well. So here comes Joseph in his wonderful new, brand new coat, right? Of all these colors, and he comes walking up, "Hey guys, I'm just supposed to check on you, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, right?" Okay, it didn't go over well. Okay, in fact, it went over really badly. Okay, they did not like that. And so rather than just punching him in the throat or whatever, his brothers got this great idea to sell him into slavery, right? So there's the picture if you want to turn around and look. Live from, okay? So they sold him. It's like a circus. It's like they sold him into slavery. Okay, so they just didn't torture him. They just didn't trip him. They just didn't like hold him down, shave his eyebrows off or anything. Okay, they got a great idea and they sold him into slavery. Okay, don't you wish you could do that to your siblings? Okay, his brothers then took his robe and dipped it in goat's blood and led their dad to believe that Joseph was killed and eaten by wild animals. So again, can you imagine selling your siblings into slavery and then lying to your parents that they got like eaten by an animal, okay? Awesome. Okay, brothers are doing a great job here. Okay, so that's what they did. Jacob was overwhelmed with grief and it just like sent their father into horrible depression. So Joseph went off to Egypt. He was then sold into slavery into Egypt to Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of the guard. But Joseph did such a good job for Potiphar that he was promoted to rule over Potiphar's house, to be in charge of everything that Potiphar owned. But trouble arose from Potiphar's wife, who was very attracted to the young Hebrew and tried to seduce him. Okay? Very scandalous. So this is what Scripture actually says about Joseph. This is from the Old Testament about Joseph's description. It says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." Okay? So the ancient Hebrew in that translates to Joseph was a hottie. Okay? He was a good-looking guy. And I don't know what that means, but he was a good-looking guy. Okay? And Potiphar's wife knew that and saw that. And so, but Joseph, he resisted her. He didn't fall to that temptation. He didn't give in to her wishes. Because that would be a disservice to his master, obviously, sleeping with his wife. And it would be a sin against God. And so even in slavery, even after these hard things, these bad things that happened to Joseph, he stuck with his faith and he continued to follow God. But one day, she seized him. She tried to seduce him, tried to get him into bed. And he ran off, but he left his coat. She ripped his coat off of him. And because she was rejected once again, horribly embarrassed once again, and wanted to get back at Joseph once again, she cried. She cried rape. And said, "Hey, he tried to rape me." There's a picture. Okay, so she's trying to get Joseph. Joseph left his coat behind. And she said, he tried to rape me. And she accused him of rape. Well, it's Potiphar's wife. I mean, who are they going to believe? A slave boy or the general's wife? And so they believed her. And Joseph was thrown into prison. So while in prison, falsely accused, Joseph met the Pharaoh's butler and the baker, where they were also in prison. So it was a hard time to be in the profession of serving royalty when you were there, right? You do something wrong, they just throw you in prison. Doesn't matter. Okay? So while there, while in prison, falsely accused, doing hard time, Joseph met these two guys and he interpreted their dreams for them with the help of the Lord. And so Joseph had foretold that the baker would be executed and the butler would be restored to royalty and to Pharaoh's favor. So again, can you imagine, "Hey, Joseph, I have this dream." Like if you're the baker, and it's like, "Here's my dream." And then Joseph says, "Yeah, that's not going to end well for you. You're going to die." Awesome. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks for that encouraging word there, Joseph. And then the other one, right? Butler, here's my dream. Oh, yeah. That's a good dream. You'll be promoted again. You'll be restored back to the king's, to Pharaoh's court, right? That's a good thing. And so Joseph interpreted those dreams for them. And then Joseph said, Hey, don't forget me. When you're back with Pharaoh, once you get restored back, put in a good word for me, because like I'm here innocent, right? I didn't really do it. And so the butler was promoted, but he forgot about Joseph. And so Joseph spent another 2 years rotting innocently in prison until Pharaoh himself had a dream. I mean, can you imagine just losing years of your life in the prime of your life? Like you're in your 20s and you're just rotting away in prison as an innocent person. Okay? But Pharaoh had two dreams as well. And none of Pharaoh's wise men or magicians could interpret the dreams. But then that reminded the butler. He was like, wait a second. I know a guy. He interpreted my dreams. Hopefully he's still alive in prison. And so they go check. Joseph is still there. And Joseph is summoned from prison. And God revealed to Joseph the dreams that had plagued the Pharaoh. And the dreams were that there was going to be 7 years of great abundance, followed by 7 years of great, great famine. And so Pharaoh believed Joseph, was impressed with Joseph, and Joseph was once again promoted. But not just promoted, he was made second in command, only second to the Pharaoh himself, over all of Egypt. And so Pharaoh was given a new name, Zephaneth-Paneneth, which means uncertain. And then he was given a wife, and he was promoted to this great ruler in Egypt. Right there, there's his promotion ceremony. I, Pharaoh, promote you, Joseph, to be great ruler. That's exactly what it looked like. Okay, so we know that Joseph was 30 years old when he became ruler of Egypt, when he was promoted like that. And so during the 7 years of prosperity, he gathered food supplies and he gathered up the storehouses with plenty of food, plenty of things for them to need for the 7 years of famine. And then the famine eventually came. And it was very severe, especially severe in Palestine, where Jacob and his sons lived. So where Joseph's family still lived in Palestine, the famine was even worse. And became so bad that Jacob sent all of his sons to Egypt to get food. All of his sons except for Benjamin, the youngest, to purchase this food. And so here they are, and they have to travel to Egypt, really the only country that was prepared for this famine because of Joseph. And so they showed up to get this grain, but his brothers, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize Joseph as ruler. But he remembered them. He knew who they were. And he remembered his dreams he had as a little boy of all of them bowing down to him. And his domination and dominion over his family. So after listening to their report of their family, Joseph kind of asked those strange questions. So, how many siblings are there of you? Like he didn't know, but he knew, right? How's your dad doing? My dad doing, right? How's he doing? Okay, after listening to the report, he accused them of being spies, of stealing from them, of being there for an alternative reason. And so he accused them of being spies. And of course, he's second command only to Pharaoh. He's in charge of all this. So all he has to do is go, that's all he has to do. And they're all dead. And that's it. It's all over. But he accused them of being spies. And they're like, no, we're not spies. We promise. We're really not. We're not spies. And so Joseph said, prove it, go back, get your brother Benjamin, and come back, and prove it to me that you're not spies. That what you tell me, that you've got your dad Jacob and your younger brother Benjamin back at home, well, bring Benjamin. Prove that he really exists. Until then, I'm keeping this other brother. And so he takes Simeon into custody while the rest go back to get Benjamin to prove their story. Well, then the famine gets even worse. They're still out of food. They still need this. And so Jacob reluctantly allows Benjamin to go back to Egypt. Because again, Jacob doesn't know what's going to happen. I mean, again, what happens if this crazy Egyptian ruler who accused my boys of being spies, what if he really does think they're spies and he kills them all? He's got them all now and then they're all dead. What happens then? But they had no choice. That's how bad it was. That's how desperate they were for food and how bad the famine was. And so when they arrived in Egypt, they were taken to Joseph's house, where Simeon was restored. They gave Simeon back to them, and a meal was prepared for them. But again, Joseph's brothers still had no idea that this was Joseph, their brother. They were terrified of him because, I mean, he could have killed them for anything and everything. And so here they are, they're hungry, they're starving, they've traveled all this way, and this huge meal is being prepared for them. I mean, do you think they were a little skeptical? Like a little weary, right? It's like, do I eat this? Do I not eat this? Is he trying to poison us? Is this a trick? What's going on here? Like, what's his play here? What's his angle here? And then they didn't know what to do. They still didn't know what in the world this ruler was trying to do. But Joseph had that kind of power. He could have sought revenge. He could have gotten even with his brothers. He could have thrown them in prison for a few years, right? He could have sold them into slavery for a little while. But Joseph at last disclosed his identity of who he really was and declared that God had sent him before them to prepare and to preserve their lives. He saved his entire family. He didn't torture them. He didn't kill them. There he is, saving them. He saved them and their descendants and Abraham's descendants, which God was making into a great nation and a great people, whom he would save the entire world through. If Joseph had not been in a place of power in Egypt to save them through this famine, they would have died, and thus they would have not become a great people. But he showed mercy on them. He showed grace on them. And arrangements were made for them to go back and to get their dad Jacob. Wagons were provided, along with provisions for the great journey. When Jacob came to Goshen and the Nile Delta, Joseph went out to meet them, and another great family reunion happened and took place. He was also presented with his father and brothers to Pharaoh, and they had permission to live in Goshen. And so when Joseph was 110 years old, he called his brothers and he told them he was about to die. He made them take an oath that when they returned to Canaan, they would take his bones with them. And so he died. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. Many, many years later, during the Exodus, Moses took the bones of Joseph with them from Egypt back to the Promised Land, back to the land of Canaan. And so this is the short version of Joseph. I mean, there's so much more to read. So much more to study, so much more to encourage you on and to look at. And so I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to take some time. If you have some time this week, if you're sitting at home hanging out, pick up the Bible. It's found in Genesis and read through the life of Joseph. I mean, it really does read like a suspense novel, like a great modern story. But one day, God would send another prince who, like Joseph, he would leave his home and his loving father. His brothers would hate him and want him dead. He too would be sold for pieces of silver, but not into slavery. He would be sold into the hands of corrupt religious leaders. He too would be punished, even though he had done nothing wrong. But in the end, despite all of the horrible things that would happen to him and that would be done to him, God would use everything that had happened to this young prince and do something amazing. Through him, God would not just save a family or a people group, but God would provide a way for forgiveness of sin for the entire world and thus provide eternal life for anyone who believes. And so the story in the story of Joseph, we're not anyone but Joseph's brothers. We all have sinned. We all have betrayed God. We all have betrayed his son, Jesus. We each deserve death. We each are helpless to help ourselves. Just as Jacob and his sons were helpless in the famine to help themselves, to provide for themselves. They had no choice but to turn to this mysterious Egyptian prince for help. Maybe he would help, they thought. Maybe he would have mercy on them. Or maybe he would have them violently killed. I wonder if had the brothers had known that ahead of time that this was Joseph, their brother they betrayed, the brother they sold into slavery, if they would have gone to him for help. Or if they just would have been terrified of him and they just would have said, oh man, I can't even imagine what he's going to do to us when we get there. We're not even going to try. Or if they would have seen him and said, oh man, you're the guy in charge? I mean, they probably would have turned and ran for their lives, fearful of the rightful and deserved judgment and wrath that their brother, their betrayed brother, could have put on them. But Joseph didn't do that. Instead, he was the first one to reach out to them. He provided for their needs. He showed them that he still loved them, that he forgave them. Because of our sin against God, he could have sent his son Jesus to destroy us. He could have. But instead, he sent his son to save us. The Bible says that Christ demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's so much to learn from the story of Joseph. But the one that I want you to see is not just the cool similarities of Joseph being betrayed and Jesus was betrayed. Or that Joseph was wrongly accused and Jesus was wrongly accused. Or anything else. What I want you to see in the story of Joseph is the foreshadowing of the mercy and the forgiveness that God would ultimately have on all of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The story of Joseph is a story of faithfulness, of a love for God, and God's protection of His people. But it's also a foreshadowing of the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ that would be demonstrated on the cross for each of us. Because the story of Joseph isn't just about Joseph. Oh, that's cool. He loved his brothers. Oh, that's cool. He showed them mercy. It's a story of undeserved mercy, of undeserved grace. Because Jesus would come. And he would show up on the scene. And we wouldn't recognize him as the Son of God. But he wouldn't show up to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that's the story of Joseph. Not just a story of forgiveness, not just a story of betrayal, but a story of unearned love, of unearned mercy, of unearned grace. And whether you know it or not, Jesus Christ has that kind of love and grace and mercy for you today. It is why He came. It is why He died. So that we may believe and have life with Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the story of Joseph, God. That Joseph was faithful in all things. That he persevered, God. That he believed in You through all things. And that he had great love and mercy and grace for his brothers. And I thank You that it was a foreshadowing. It was an image pointing to the ultimate love, the ultimate level of forgiveness, the ultimate grace that Your Son would show, God, by coming, by putting on human flesh, by being rejected and ridiculed and beaten, and then hung on a cross, and then taking our wrath for us, so that we may have forgiveness, so that we may have righteousness. We owe our lives to You, God, just as Joseph's brothers owed their lives to him. And so help us to go, God, and to look for ways every day to live for you. Maybe this is the first time we've heard the gospel put this way, God. Maybe this is the first time we've heard about your tangible love for us and why you had to die for us, God. Just as Joseph had to go and to experience those things of slavery and prison and everything else, you had to come and experience and to even be put to death so that we might have life. Now, this is the first time we've heard that today, God. Help us to put our trust and our faith in you starting today, to ask for forgiveness from our sins, and to turn and to follow you from this day forward, God. We just thank you and just praise you for who you are and for loving us so much, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.